I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E. Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Wednesday, August 10th, 2022 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And it really is a wild and dystopic ride, is it not? I want to talk maybe about stories a little bit this morning. I just think it's absolutely astounding what's happening. I think there's been a transformation. The Fabian gradualist model has obviously been in effect for several generations now, over 100 years, and it works great because since it happens at glacial speed, people just don't seem to notice generation to generation. People don't seem to notice, but I think Alan Watt, among other folks, was really good about telling us, you know, that it was about a generation, maybe every 20 to 25 years, that major changes were implemented, and that was accelerating up to or down to, however you want to look at it, you know, 10, 8, 7, 5 years. And a lot of that is due to the fact that we have a very malleable populace at this point that don't understand they're being conditioned to behave like children, feckless little children who need to ask the mommy state for permission to do everything and need to be scared, be afraid, be very afraid all the time about every hobgoblin that's paraded before us. And so you can see now, I mean, if you read anything Mark Twain wrote, for example, the vast disparity between America today and America, say, 150 years ago. And the technology, the technological improvement brings with it a degree of dehumanization and servitude that people don't realize. A lot of folks have written about that. Obviously, Ted Kaczynski's manifesto comes to mind, and like folks have said, you know, you don't have to throw the baby out with the bathwater. You can say, I don't condone his methods of trying to get people's attention, so to speak. However, if you read his manifesto, he has some very salient points. And it becomes even more provocative when you realize that he was a product of the kind of firsthand experimentation that has then been rolled out in mass to control and even subjugate a population. So technology has included the over-socialization of people. You can see in society at large today how the technological forces are conspiring against us in ways that many folks have posited over the years. And now we can see directly how, you know, for example, if somebody says, somebody posts something, whether on social media or somewhere else, without the centralization of social media, we used to have enclaves online and other places. You know, we always had the phone tree and so forth, which is also kind of a technological predecessor of social media on the web. But you can see how if someone posts something, you know, there are articles, for example, that get published from time to time, 10, 20, whatever, greatest places to live or vacation or whatever. And when those kinds of things are published, it creates, these days it seems, a stampede to places that are ill-equipped to handle the volume of traffic that then migrate to those places. And what ends up happening, because we're so dehumanized and we behave more like animals all the time, and to see evidence of this, one only needs visit a public restroom, I think. You know, they look more like Neanderthal caves and places with, you know, Zoroastrian or kind of cuneiform or Egyptian hieroglyphics scrawled on the walls. Things that are written are depicted in pictorial or pictograph sort of fashion, and it's just, it's very strange to see what's happening to America from generation to generation. And so, you know, if you have those kinds of people stampeding to a place that is not equipped to handle a volume of traffic, then the place gets overrun and rinse and repeat, on to the next place, on to the next place. And so it seems America is being sort of systematically destroyed from within, just as many folks have warned over the years. You know, speaking of the cybernetic totalist techno slavery, we've played clips of Neil Postman, for example, and his book interview on his book Technopoly, for example, and how he said technology, people forget, you know, we always get this sales pitch and we forget that technology doesn't just giveth, as he said, technology also taketh. And we need to remember that and be thoughtful about what is being taken. A good example is when you think about when things get automated. I've talked about this a lot, when those mundane repetitive tasks, as they're referred to by the technocrats and the cybernetic totalists, when those mundane repetitive tasks are automated away, then we lose a part of ourselves and our identity in those things. And I always think of Ecclesiastes 3:22, which says that nothing is better than that man be happy in his activities, for that is his lot. For who will bring him to see what will occur after him? And without these so-called mundane repetitive tasks, man in a very real sense starts to lose his identity, and technology starts to replace him. if you are familiar with the Back to the Future movie, I don't remember which one it was. I think it was the second movie. Maybe it was the first, actually. Where Michael J. Fox's character starts to disappear because as they've rewritten history, his parents were in danger of not being together, and therefore the children would not be born. So they're looking at this picture and seeing the kids disappearing in the picture because the parents were in this new alternative future or alternate future. The kids would not have been born. And so in a similar sense, I think as technology continues to replace our ability, for example, to communicate effectively or to emote, you know, through automated text messages and so forth, or replaces our ability to do math. You know, we've always had some kind of assistance, back to the abacus, for example, you might say, but these days I've watched people, you know, who can count change anymore. That's okay. We'll get rid of change and counting. That's not a good thing. We used to understand that when a transaction was made or a purchase, for example, if you bought something, you exchanged value for value. There is a good or a service, maybe some kind of durable good that has value, obviously. And then someone has exchanged their work for money. And let's just table the definition of money. What actually is money? Maybe I would borrow from Jefferson and say, just as a prerequisite, money is form and substance. So Jefferson said that paper is poverty. It is the ghost of money and not money itself. But that aside, you know, you exchange your labor for money and then maybe money for some durable good. And in that process, we agree that there is a certain value. There's a certain value to the labor, to the durable good, and of course to the money that is the exchange medium. And so in that sense, if you're purchasing a durable good, then you expect to have change counted back. And that's a simple process. So the way that happened historically was maybe you buy something for $20. Let me do it this way. You buy something for $9.50. You give someone a $20 bill. And so you're exchanging like for like. And so to create equilibrium or to balance the scales, so to speak, you get the item for $9.50. They get $20, but they owe you the difference. And so historically, you start with the smallest denomination and work your way up there when counting change back. So typically the way that worked historically was the cashier, for example, would say, you have the item. So as they're counting change back, you have the item for $9.50. You gave $20. So they'd say $9.50. 50 cents makes 10. And here's a $10 bill, or maybe a 5 and 5 ones or whatever. And so they'd say 50 makes 10 and 10 makes 20, or 9.50 plus 50 equals 10 and 5 and 5, or, you know, 5 ones and a $5 bill equals 20. And so that was, it's not difficult. That's how we used to count change. Now we're to a point where I've literally seen with my own eyes a young person, granted, maybe this person, maybe it was his first job, maybe it was his first day on the job, maybe he was very nervous, but still, I've seen with my own eyes a young person say, "Forgive me, I'm nervous. You know, what are all these, what are all these shiny ones worth? What's their value?" Looking at change, you know, nickels, dimes, and quarters. And that's just astounding to me. You know, George Carlin used to joke about the American populace being dumbed down to the point that we're just smart enough to run the machines, but too dumb to ask questions. And I think it's gone to the point where maybe now we're not even smart enough to run the machines. And so what does that portend? I don't think it bodes well for American society. A frightening thought, I think. Anyway, I wanted to talk about stories, maybe generally, maybe specific. What's happening is absolutely astonishing. Aaron and Melissa Dykes did their video, "This is a Crisis," regarding the housing situation. And across the country, you can see suddenly housing, the cost of housing has skyrocketed. And we had the whole hashtag fight for 15 nonsense, which, you know, with the inflation that we have, runaway inflation, it seems, despite the ostensible preventive measures by the Biden administration. I want to say Obama because it feels like a holdover of the same coup. A more, I think, virulent strain, perhaps. But when you look at the skyrocketing housing prices across the country, I would say, if you haven't done this in a while, and I was going to do it, maybe we'll do it this morning, maybe we'll try a little experiment and look at some places across the country. It's not uncommon in many places for to see rent prices, for example, upwards of $2,000 a month for just about anything, you know, three bedroom, two bathroom places, certainly all over the country. And when you think about that, that's $24,000 a year. And if you just back into the math a little bit, $24,000 a year, if we can still do math, losing the ability to do math, you know, is a calculator bad? Not necessarily. You don't, do I have to memorize every equation? No, maybe knowing the Pythagorean theorem is enough, or knowing the FOIL method or whatever. Maybe that's enough. But to lose our ability to understand those calculations, I think, is what we run the risk of if we don't remind ourselves from time to time. Anyway, imagine, and maybe we should do this, you know, maybe we'll look around the country and see in some areas what the housing price is. But just as an example, and I've seen in several areas approximately $2,000 a month for, say, a three-bedroom, two-bath home. Maybe somebody's renting, maybe a young family or whatever, trying to save money for the future. So if you back into the numbers, $2,000 a month times 12 months is $24,000, obviously. Now, imagine you work 2,000 hours a year. Let's say average of 40 hours a week, 50 weeks a year, 2,000 hours. How much of every work hour goes toward the cost of housing? Talk about that. Go to the phone.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Drastic measures are needed. The current national debt is almost $31 trillion. Let's give that some perspective. If our government suddenly managed to pass the balanced budget and paid $1 billion a year on the national debt, it would take over 30,000 years to pay off the debt. The federal government revenue is almost $4.5 trillion. $2.5 trillion, or 55%, goes to Medicare and Social Security, leaving $2 trillion for everything else. Except reality is that we add $1.5 trillion to the debt every year. You don't need to be an economic genius to figure out that spending like this cannot last forever. These little deficit reductions just aren't sufficient. Massive financial accountability is needed. Literally trillions of dollars need to be cut from the federal budget. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Cephas Pashem, Parabellum.
My friend is feels their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. But my just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up. My brother sent me right down and he talked to me. That I ought not to let you just walk on me. And I'm sure he meant well. Yeah, but when I talk was through, I said, brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes.
All right, welcome back. So just real quick, and we'll go to the phones. I mean, think about this. I don't know if people have really thought about this, but housing costs $2,000 a month, which is not unusual these days. What for the person working 40 hours a week, say 50 weeks a year, 2,000 hours a year, how much of each working hour goes toward a housing payment? And the answer, of course, without, you know, in grossly oversimplified terms, the answer is $12 per working hour. And if you, you know, assume maybe a 20% tax bracket, then it's about $14.40, call it 15. And what if a person has a car payment, for example? You can just see quickly how the term working poor applies to a larger percentage of folks than most people would probably realize. And it's only set to worsen. And the reason I say that is because in this inflationary scheme, things can only go one direction, despite the semantics and all the shenanigans. The Federal Reserve says that it was created to regulate the value of the dollar, and it has done that. It's regulated the value of the real dollar, not the Federal Reserve note, down to almost nothing. You know, there are different estimates, but it's somewhere around, you know, the erosion of the actual dollar down to about 3% of its original value. And you can see that conveyed in the inverse concept of inflation, where prices skyrocket. And that's what we've seen happen. Anyway, maybe I'll come back to that. For now, let's go to the phones and grab Patty in Florida. Patty, thanks for calling. Welcome. Yeah, Patty.
Your conversation, when you were talking about counting change, my first job when I was 14, I'd have to count all the registers. It was a food market called Food Town in New Jersey. That was my first job when I was 14. But And progressively, I learned how to take steno, which became like a skill. And then I'd have to transcribe and manually type it. And if there was a mistake, you know, I had to change, you know, use white out like a little paintbrush. Yeah. I had to blow on it and make sure it was dry, you know, so I got very accurate so I didn't have to do those sorts of things.
Imagine that.
Yeah. I had to slow myself down enough to be super accurate, you know, especially because we had carbon copies. You know, we didn't really have a photocopy machine. We used carbon paper in between the paper when I typed up wills. That was my second job, which was actually during high school when I was 15. I was typing wills and things like that. I got sort of recruited out of high school, in high school, and after high school to do this sort of secretarial stuff. But
these days, I think it would be hard to imagine anyone would entrust a 15-year-old with that kind of responsibility.
Yeah, I worked at a law office when I was 15 years old. And I asked for a 25% raise. And, you know, he was like, oh, you just... but after high school, I got recruited by a Wall Street firm, and I was put in their legal department at 17, working for 8 attorneys.
Visit our website.
Amazing.
By going to Republic Broadcasting.
And I think I earned $9,000 a year. A little less than that.
And Yeah. But back in those days, that was something.
It wasn't much, but I started paying my father rent.
2,000 mules.
Because we were a big family, and we were struggling. We were super poor.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries. Conversation after the break. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
So do we still have Patty?
Yes, yes. So, you know, so, I just wanted to illustrate there how all those mundane things, all the relationships involved. Now, when I was a cashier where I ended up adding it all up, at the end of the night I called security, which basically was the police department, I think. It was that they looked like police officers. And they would walk me across the street where I would open to a bank where I would drop a bag, which was the deposit from the bank for the day, because I added it all up from all the cashiers. And I would have to give warnings to the cashiers, and I felt bad, you know, because if they were off by $3, I had to give them a warning, and I was only 14 years old.
Wow.
It's like, you know, just 3050, you know, wanted to put five. I remember, like, I'm going to put 25 cents in for you, you know, to make up the difference.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to have to give you a warning. But, you know, because your job's important. We were very poor. Anyway, all of it, you know, and then eventually when I worked at the, I told you, in the legal department at a bank for 8 lawyers, then computers came in and I really picked it up because I was really good at all these mundane things.
Yeah.
They're not so mundane. And all those relationships with all those lawyers, you know, it was like, could you come in and take a letter? I had to go in and handwrite it in this shorthand, then transcribe all my notebooks and save them, date them, very organized. So it was a very sort of automated but very manual way of doing things and a lot of relationships.
Yes.
Now, all of this leading to one, which probably is going to sound like a very stupid question. I'm not sure how old I am. Because when you're born, that first year, you're really one, aren't you? I want to know because I'm thinking I want to start applying for my Social Security when I'm 62. And I think I'm about to turn 62, but maybe not. It might only be 61. So my point, question really, here I was so good at adding up change, and I really don't know when I can apply for Social Security. Because after you live your first whole year, you're really entering into your second year now, when you're... what, the whole first year of life is called zero?
Yeah. And there's lots of evidence to support what you're saying, even in sort of mainstream circles, you know. Field of psychology, and again, the whole cybernetic totalist push to condition children in that first year, in the womb. So, absolutely.
Not in the womb, out of the womb. Already born, right? Shouldn't that be year one? This is your year one. And when you turn, when you've fulfilled the one, now you should be two.
Well, that's I'm not sure I agree with that.
In other
words,
it's like a fraction. Think of it like 75 cents. I'm 3/4 of a year old. I'm not even, you know. But in another sense, your first year begins when you're born. So they say you're 1 year old. Really, you're entering your second year. Because you've been, you know what I mean?
I see your point. I don't agree with it, but I see your point.
Yeah, I'm just saying, so the kids that aren't, you know, I guess that's why they say you're 6 months old or 3 months old.
Yeah. Well, based on the number of
It's just it's such a fundamental thing that you triggered in my mind. Because I recalled counting all that change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when you're born, you're not even a penny.
Yeah.
You're a fraction of a penny. Okay,
well,
so now I know how old I am. Thank you, but as far as my career went, after that I went into word processing because I automated to some degree, not really automated, because I manually had to take all the steno, transcribe everything, but now I did it in a computer, and when I made a mistake, you know, I could go back into that saved document, you know, and just correct that and reprint it out on a really loud blasting machine that had to have ear protection around it. All those mundane things, you know, they're not so mundane.
Exactly.
Just driving that point home. And even in college, I wasn't allowed at first to use a calculator.
Mm-hmm.
Taking tests.
Yeah.
Now, you know, and even with calculators, how is 2 plus 2, 4? That I will never understand other than, you know, you're going into bizarro world.
Mm-hmm.
But continue, because I see how you're saying your technology give it and technology take it away as if it's God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you doing away with? People's jobs.
Exactly.
People's living.
And
how do they afford where they live? This is frightening. Technology is not our friend. You know,
not
it is up
cases,
to a degree, and then it becomes, now we're useless. Eaters, like they call us, right? We're useless eaters. Replacing
Precisely,
people with robots, like going to Home Depot or something. No, I don't want to go. I don't go on those automated checkout lines. Yep. You know, I make a point to say, you know, that's somebody's job that got lost.
I completely agree. Yep, 100%.
You know, you got it. I mean, at a fundamental level there, I heard Catherine Austin Fitz, and I think now even Cliff High, use cash. If we don't use cash, they're going to digitalize everything and have complete control.
So... Yeah, so speaking of that, I'm making a note. There's another thing that I want to come back to, but we've had the journey to a circuitous route to a short point, but we've had all these movies throughout the 20th century, for example, that have told us about, you know, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, for example, robbing trains and things like that, you know, stealing paper
money.
Yeah, they
were like heroes in a weird way, right?
Well, this sort of reinforces the illusion that this paper has some value. And so, anyway, we're sort of grouped on all of that. You have all of the movies in later years that... you know, have different kinds of heists, bank heists, Ocean's 11, for example, those kinds of things, where the stealing of this paper it reinforces the illusion that it has some value. Anyway, there were the armored cars that, my opinion is those were really more than just safeguarding this paper. It reinforces the illusion that it has value. So the trucks used to be big.
Right.
You know, you look at the Wells Fargo truck, for example. Well, if you look at small, these little pickups, little tiny boxes, to your point, you know, using cash is something that people don't understand the importance of. As bad as the Federal Reserve note is, to head back in that direction versus going fully digital,
it's more tangible.
At least
you're touching it. You know,
mm-hmm.
And you're interacting with another human being. Although I know machines can give change and stuff too, like a soda or whatever, you know, a candy bar.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But the automation, that was fine. I think there was an auto map. Mm-hmm. It was some sort of thing that made, it was a pretty famous one on 42nd Street in New York City, where, well, it wasn't, they called it an auto map, but really behind it were people making the sandwiches and mm-hmm. putting them in the slots. It wasn't as automatic as it sounded. But
and it usually,
that, I guess
usually
that was
isn't.
The beginning
That's...
of, you know, not contact with people, although you still had to, you know, yeah. open up which refrigerator, pick what type of sandwich you wanted, and go pay cash mm-hmm. when you got to the register with a person behind there.
Yeah, and that used to be important. Sebastian, there
And that was called
difference.
Automation.
Yeah, Sebastian Maniscalco tells a story about how his dad, you know, they walk into some place like Sears and he'd try to buy a washing machine or a refrigerator or something. And his dad would say, I got cash, you know, because that used to mean something in the neighborhood. You know, you transact among local merchants. And if you have cash, then maybe you can get a better deal. And so his dad would say that when he walked into Sears. And Sebastian Maniscalco says, you know, he'd be embarrassed essentially because his dad's trying to wheel and deal in Sears. But it used to mean it was all
how many hours of my work.
Also,
and it's right there in the end. Ooh, do I want to give it away?
Right.
You know, for this, you know, it showed you felt the value slit going through your. Mm-hmm. Through your hands and counted the change, you know. So if you made $3 an hour at work and you were paying $10 for something, you automatically thought, well, that's 2.5 hours work. Over 3 hours work for that item. Is it really worth it, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
But down to such a fundamental level there that people could add. They were very good at change. I knew a guy who did not know how to read. He ran a coffee shop. He did not know how to read. He was a very good driver because he could read the numbers. He knew the numbers. He could do the adding and subtracting, but he didn't know how to read them right. He could speak fluently, perfect. It was really astonishing that he was illiterate because he was so smart with numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, yeah, I mean, he lived all right. So when you lose that arithmetic, just basic adding, subtracting, and math, and identifying it, that's an incredible thing. Then you take away the reading.
Yeah. Yeah,
I was fooled. I asked him. I said, "Here, read this," you know, and it was really. And this is somebody I knew for years, and I didn't know they didn't know how to read. Running a coffee shop.
Mm-hmm. Pretty amazing.
And that was when everybody knew how to read, but he was able to sort of hide that because he was really very smart. I think he might have been trying to learn, you know, in another way. But still perfectly functioning, running a business.
I've heard several stories. Yeah, I've heard several stories, very similar people. Not literate or not literate at all, becoming self-employed and becoming very wealthy. So
yes, because they knew how to add.
Yeah, it's...
And subtract, and they knew areas, and they knew how to read highway numbers. They knew how to read maps without, you know, towns, just what highway to get there.
Functionally literate.
By the numbers. They're digressing, but now, I mean, that was a time when people were coming out of high school knowing how to read. You know, when I met this guy, I was really pretty surprised when I found out that he didn't know that. But now, who's coming out? They don't know how to add and subtract. Remember, I had a bank book. You know, even now, today, I write a check. I make a note of how much, and I keep a running balance.
Right.
I don't think most people do that anymore. So how do they how much they got?
They let the banking software. I don't know about you, but I check the machine's math. So if I have to get change from a machine, for example, if I get bored.
Yeah, I'm going to let you go. But yeah, now they don't even want to send you a bank statement, which I used to love.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, go ahead and carry on. Or you got to pay $6 for your statement. Crazy. Or more now. I'm not sure. Thanks, Chris. Keep up the good work.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We'll be right back.
segment of the first hour of today's Rotary Radio broadcast this Wednesday, August 2022. What Patty and I were just talking about over the last half hour or so is exactly why I have maintained for years, you know, when people, when Road Warrior Radio first started, you can get a flavor for what I'm talking about if you just go watch the one YouTube video, if you can find it. YouTube doesn't make it easy to find, but the one YouTube video that I published on the Road Warrior Radio YouTube channel speaks to this issue. The issue was auditing. We're talking about auditing the Fed, and I H.R. 1207 the bill, and the FSAP, Financial Sector Assessment Program, and how we were basically being led into a Brer Rabbit sort of trap, and it wasn't a good idea. But if you watch that, you'll see that it, I would say Road Warrior Radio used to be much more informative than it is today. Today I would call it anecdotal, and I think it has, I don't know, been numbed down, perhaps for lack of a better term. But people used to say, you gotta dumb it down a little bit, you gotta bring it down a little, you gotta make it more relatable. And I would insist, no, on the contrary, I think we all need to reach up a little bit. And I remember talking about similar experiences. I remember a time specifically where I was reading, you know, I remember reading these things, you know, Federalist Papers and things founders wrote, and just thinking, man, this sounds like a completely different language. You know, it might as well be a different language, one that I don't speak. And then there was a moment when, in my case, I was reading Reagan's Time for Choosing speech, 1964. And I just remember that passage, you know, that little bit in there, if we lose freedom here, there is no place to escape to. That whole bit somehow connected me back to those guys. And then all of a sudden it started making sense. And, you know, similarly, I remember feeling like a 98-pound mental weakling who showed up at the gym and was, you know, embarrassing and trying to work out my brain and be able to think critically and work these things out. And I think that's what we all need to be doing. I've said that forever, the entire time this broadcast is aired. And I still think that. I think we need to reach higher, because if we don't, we're in jeopardy of losing things. What Reagan, speaking of Reagan, wasn't he the one who said we're only a generation away from losing freedom? Second hour, come stick around. We'll be right back after the short break.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.